Chapter 1, Nigeria, from a country to a nation. The role of the elected and the electorate towards ending corruption in Nigeria. Like you, most Nigerians have lost faith in the fight against corruption and the building of a new Nigeria. Their belief that the fight against corruption is a lost cause, that it is one that is selective and meant to witch hunt those who stubbornly oppose the policies of the ruling party. Corruption has eaten so deeply into the Nigerian system that attempting to cleanse the system of it seems like an impossible task. However, we must understand that the nation did not become this corrupt overnight. It took many decades of corrupt acts being perpetrated. Thus, it will take years of persistence, patience, sacrifice, and determination to cleanse the system of corruption. The most efficient tool for bringing an end to corruption. Our great country, Nigeria, is 60 years old. However, she still acts like a baby that is trying to find its feet. Like many other citizens, so much doubt fills my heart as to whether Nigeria will ever truly become the great nation God destined her to be. I strongly believe that great men like Pa Anthony Enahoro and Obafemi Awolowo, who fought for our independence from colonial masters, never envisaged that Nigeria would deteriorate to such a terrible state after all these years of independence. The one question that woke me up this morning is, how did we get here as a nation? As I pondered upon this very question, it dawned on me that a nation as great as Nigeria could only have found herself in this state because she has had only very few responsible and selfless leaders. The majority of its leaders have been corrupt, power-drunk, selfish, nepotistic, plainly inept, and disconnected from the realities of the masses. It is troubling that a country with such potential for greatness and plenty of natural resources, including oil, would face the ugly reality that most families and individuals find it hard to afford just one square meal a day. However, citizens of countries with less potential for greatness and scarce natural resources live far better lives. How did we get here? It does seem like the labor of our heroes past have so far been in vain. When will Nigeria begin to live up to its name, potential, and natural resources? Unfortunately, this question seems years away from being answered. As many of those occupying sensitive positions in this great nation are selfish and have refused to take upon themselves the weight of responsibility required for effective leadership, they fail to understand that leadership is a call to service, a call to serve and better the lives of the people they swore to protect. They can afford more than 3 rich meals, sleep in big mansions, and drive cars purchased with stolen funds. No doubt, corruption remains at the heart of all the pain, poverty, and hardship most citizens of this great nation experience daily. Corruption that is so deep beyond what we know or see, we can't even comprehend how deep this has eaten into our economy. What we know or hear is just the tip of the iceberg. The future of Nigeria looks very bleak, as virtually all sectors of the economy have been crippled by this bane of corruption. Health, education, economic and legal systems are all nothing to write home about. Most disheartening of all this is that the youth in whose hands Nigeria's destiny lies are following the footsteps of present corrupt leaders. Corruption means different things to different people. The common Nigerian views corruption in sense of stolen money, but there is more to the concept of corruption. In reality, not only those in positions of leadership and authority are guilty of corruption. At the very least, even the common person is corrupt. So what is corruption? Corruption is defrauding a person or people of their resources or opportunities. It entails diversion or subversion of justice. It is diversion of funds. It means misappropriation of funds. When the war against corruption is targeted only at a select group of people, while those guilty of the same offense are left to move around about freely, it is also corruption. When a student expects his or her lecturer to score them highly, regardless of preparation and performance in exams, simply because the said lecturer is a father, uncle, or boyfriend, it is corruption. Bribing your way to getting a contract or giving kickbacks is corruption. A driver or car owner who offers to bribe his way out of the punishment meant for failure to renew his driver's license or car papers is corrupt. A man who buys kerosene or premium motor spirit and adulterates it with water or other liquids just to make more gain is corrupt. A mechanic who collects twice more than he should collect for buying a car part is corrupt. A sales girl who steals from her boss is corrupt. A teacher who cares more for other things than their core professional obligation to the students and pupils is corrupt. We are corrupt when we disobey the laws of the land in which we live and expect to walk away without being punished. The Nigerian system desperately cries out for change as corruption negatively affects virtually everything and everyone. Corruption cuts across age, gender, and industries in our country. Corruption has eaten so deeply into our country, into our economy, that a five-year-old child expects some money in return when he or she runs an errand for an elder. As adults, we often play along with these kids, offering them money as a form of reward when they return from such errands. These kids eventually grow up with the mentality that there is no free service anywhere. What happened to the days when anyone's child was everyone's child? Everyone accuses leaders of being corrupt, but we cannot effectively curb corruption at the top, as very many Nigerians, young and old, poor and rich, are guilty of the same vice in one way or the other. We might argue that some people are more corrupt than others are, but we fail to understand that it is the little acts of corruption that produce people with an insatiable quest for acquiring illegal wealth. As citizens of this great nation, we must begin to reflect on ways that we have been corrupt, to consciously work towards becoming incorruptible citizens in our homes, schools, churches, workplaces, and the society at large. If we as a nation are serious about reducing corruption to a bare minimum, we must start from when a child is at a very tender age. We must program children against corruption before they enter into schools by projecting before them the values of integrity, contentment, selflessness, hard work, and honesty. We must equally let them know that living an incorruptible life has enormous benefits and the reverse bears huge consequences. The reason is that the force of continuity and sustained perpetration plays a great role in keeping corruption afloat in our land. Even if we wipe out older men who are corrupt, the sequence continues with the younger citizens, since both the old and young carry the same mentality. You need to look at, you know, the elections going on in our campuses to really have an idea of how deep corruption has eaten into our system. Little ones from the time of birth and from primary school to tertiary school level ought to be educated on the damaging effect of corruption on their pressing and the national economy at large. Corruption has eaten deeply into our system, and that is why we must consciously purge and restructure the entire system. There needs to be rebuilding and building of systems that will outlast any single individual or group of pressings, for corruption always thrives where there is corrupt system. To ensure that we completely wipe out corruption, we must understand that the responsibility lies with everyone. Parents, teachers, clergymen, educators, traders, lecturers, authors, musicians, actors, students, media, religious organizations, schools, and many others. Members of society must play their roles in ending corruption, no matter how insignificant such roles seem. The bulk of responsibility to ensure a corrupt-free system and integrity leaning citizenry lies with parents, whom God endowed with the responsibility of raising godly children, as well as teachers and religious leaders. Parents and educators must sensitize children to understand who they are, what they were created for, what God demands of them as citizens, as well as their individual responsibility to nation building. The media has a role to play in sensitizing the young against engaging in corrupt practices. This can be what we set out to achieve as a people and as a nation. Hello, everyone. Excited to have you today again. Welcome to my podcast, Created with Purpose. My name is Comfort Michael Sule, and today I'm going to talk about the National Pledge our symbol of identity. I pledge to Nigeria, my country, to be faithful, loyal, and honest, to serve Nigeria with all my strength, to defend her unity and uphold her honor and glory, so help me God. So what does this really mean to us as Nigerians, to every Nigerian all over the world? What does this mean for us? How can this understanding and revolution really bring about a transformation in our land? Professor Mrs. Felicia Adebola Adedoyin wrote the National Pledge in 1976. It is one of the most meaningful and life-transforming words that I've ever come across. Not many people remember the name of this amazing woman who, out of her creative world and love for the nation, wrote the National Pledge. It is, however, unthinkable that many people cannot successfully recite the National Pledge, let alone apply those words to their lives. I sometimes wonder if she would have written the National Pledge had she known that years later, the ordinary citizen would have no regrets, no regard for the words. But you see, when she wrote those words, when she wrote the National Pledge, I believe she wrote it from a point of understanding and commitment towards seeing that Nigeria and its people realizes their full potential. And decades after, the average Nigerian has lost all sense of consciousness, understanding, and commitment to realizing the potentials of this great nation. Of a truth, many primary, secondary, and university graduates cannot successfully recite the national anthem. But be it as it may, most people recite the National Pledge out of duty and without any consciousness of the words. The National Pledge is one of the most powerful lines I've ever read. It can be closely related to the marriage vows. It is a tool that every citizen should use towards the development of this nation. Everyone should listen to those words, recite these words, and be committed to play their individual roles for the enhancement and development of this great nation. However, one thing that I want you to understand is that just as couples easily forget their marital vows and the responsibilities and benefits it bestows upon them, Nigerians do not value the National Pledge, and many might have a good reason for that. You see, Nigerians have suffered for so long and are still suffering from poverty, sickness, joblessness, absence of necessary infrastructure, you know, no education, no power. We really believe that these things are changing, but it's hard for the ordinary citizen to really believe. The truth is that so many Nigerians are tired and they really feel a sense of hopelessness. But I know that by the end of this podcast, hope will be given to a lot of people. That is my belief. That is my hope this morning. Some people do not have the willingness or strength to be loyal. They are tired. You know, they do not have that willingness to be faithful or honest to a nation where it seems that only the people in political offices have a right to wealth and prosperity. We say in the words, do not ask what your nation can do for you, but what you can do for the nation. Question is, what if you keep giving to a nation that gives you nothing and even takes the little you have in the form of inflated taxes and deprivation of infrastructure such as water, education, jobs, health, you know, and light and every other thing that that, you know, are things that ordinary citizens have a right to? What if that continues to happen? No matter how justifiable it is to ignore the National Pledge because we seem to enjoy and benefit from it, we must find a solution to getting back the consciousness and commitment that we have shown towards our nation, Nigeria. Nigeria is one of the countries with the greatest wealth of nature and human resources, yet many people still go to bed hungry, and many cannot afford health care or school fees. You know, many cannot even afford an accommodation. They cannot afford one square meal. You know, unpatriotic and corrupt leaders got us to this place. You know, leaders who lost all consciousness of the National Pledge. They do not understand what it means to be a leader or to lead a people. But you see, I strongly believe that Nigeria can be that great nation again, that nation that we envision, that we all envision, that nation that we look forward to. Only if we pay attention to, you know, our children and young citizens, doing everything possible to instill the right values in young people, is the only thing, you know, or let me say, one of the most fundamental things that can ever make this nation great again. Because we always say that the society is a reflection of the family. And so it's important for us to know that it's time to begin to catch these young people, you know, instill the right values in them. These values form the lines of the National Pledge and are powerful tools in transforming the mind of young people, thereby bringing about national transformation. These values should be taught daily at home and in schools. The National Pledge should be compulsory from primary one to up to the university level. It should be included into the civic duty curriculum. Pupils should be encouraged to consciously commit to living by the dictates, by the words of the National Pledge. And so I'm really going to shed light on the revelation I have about the National Pledge. And we are going to read it again before we proceed. It says, I pledge Nigeria, my country, to be faithful, loyal, and honest, to serve Nigeria with all my strength, to defend her unity, and uphold her honor and glory, so help me God. And so what does this mean? The National Pledge explained. Number one, I pledge to Nigeria, my country. That is the first thing we hear in the National Pledge. What does this really mean? The first thing I want you to realize as a citizen of this great nation is that Nigeria is your country, the only country you've got. You may sometimes wish that you were from that, you know, that other country, or you were not from Nigeria. However, you're already a citizen of this great nation. To pledge means to make a solemn promise or a vow to make Nigeria a better place, a better nation than you met it, regardless of the circumstances you find yourself. Therefore, we all owe this country debt of service. When you say you pledge, you are making a commitment to contribute consciously and unconsciously to the well-being of the nation. When you are married to a man or a woman, they treat you so badly sometimes that you feel like not fulfilling that vow. However, love for your spouse and sometimes love for your children keeps you going. Nigeria may not be that country that you wish you were. However, this nation can become great if we all fulfill our pledge. Do not look beyond, you know, I really want you to look beyond what is happening right now to play your part in making this nation great again. And so as you find yourself in your self-influence, in your school, at home, in your workplace, as a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a student, as a teacher, as a politician, as a businessman, as an educator, as a health personnel, wherever you find yourself, you have the responsibility through your words and actions to really demonstrate your pledge to see that Nigeria becomes a great nation again. So we have hope that, you know, as you take that right step, other citizens will continue and will begin to follow in your footstep. Number two, to be faithful, loyal, and honest. Loyalty means keeping your vows, commitment, and promise to stand by somebody. It means that your allegiance to a cause or person is unshakable, regardless of circumstances. To be faithful means to be steadfast, reliable, devoted, and constant. It means to perform your duty well and do the best of your ability, and to the best of your ability. It also means to believe in the present, organization, or nation. To be honest means to live a life of integrity, truthfulness, trustworthiness, fairness, openness, incorruptibility, and sincerity. It means your life is devoid of lies, cheating, or theft, partiality, deceit, fraud. Honesty is very important because it will aid the development of a positive mindset and enhances the chance that people behave in morally acceptable ways. And so I really want you to take note of this, that you have the responsibility to be faithful, loyal, and honest to this great nation, Nigeria. Loyalty, faithfulness, and honesty all rely on the pledge made to a nation, organization, or a person. And then we promise also to serve Nigeria with all our strength, to give our all to this great nation, to serve with all our strength, you know, everything you've got, to serve with, you know, your talent, to serve with your gift, to serve with your potentials, to serve with your business, to serve, you know, with your job, everything that you've received, to serve with it. Number four, to defend her unity. To defend her unity. What does it mean to defend? To defend means to stand against an opposition that is standing, you know, that is trying to come against you or against a person or against an organization, you know, to really be there for that nation. So we can be there for Nigeria as we are there to protect and to defend everything that is connected to us. We can choose to defend the name, the glory of this nation through our actions, our words, the things that we do, you know, and how we are willing to really stand up and be a light in this nation. And the next line says, and uphold her honor and glory. And uphold her honor and glory. That wherever you find yourself on the face of the earth, you will not act in ways or speak in ways that really brings dishonor and shame to this nation, Nigeria. You've got to take a stand today. You might have a reason why you say you don't have, you know, you don't need to commit to this nation, but you have to make that stand today and decide that everything you do and everything you say and everywhere that you find yourself, there is going to be light shining on this great nation. People are going to come and see the light and say, oh, where is this person from? Let us follow them. Number six says, so help me God. Nigeria is a nation built on godly principles. We can all make individuals pledge to this great nation. We have to pledge, you know, our all to this great nation. However, without the help of God, we cannot fulfill these, no matter the pledge that we make. Homes and schools must instill godly principles and values in children so that they can grow up to become God-fearing citizens and leaders. The Nigerian dream is you and I. It is not about it's not about dreaming about a great nation without personal inputs, you know, the willingness to contribute. A nation is only as great as the citizens of that nation are. This goes to say that the principles and values upon which individuals operate daily is the foundation of every nation, upon which every nation is built. Your life, actions, and decisions produces the nation that you want to see. Make no mistake, Nigeria is suffering from the individual actions of her leaders that has brought a collective, you know, underdevelopment, collective pain, collective shame, and to dishonor to this nation. But I trust that you are going to listen to this over and over again and make a stand to how you can make a difference to this nation. We all can make a change. We all can have the Nigeria that we want to see. God has promised us a new Nigeria, that even though Nigeria is held as the most corrupt nation in the world, there is going to come a time that righteousness will spring forth, and suddenly many people will hold the skirts of a Nigeria and say, let us go to your country and see this great light that is emanating from your country. And I want you to keep your hope up, no matter how tired you are, how discouraged you are, how hopeless you feel. I want you to know that a new Nigeria is here and a new Nigeria is now. God bless you. I look forward to having you listen to the next episode again. Please like this podcast, share it, you know, then I really want you to, you know, let people know about what is happening here and how productive, impactful this can be to their lives. Thank you, and I look forward to hearing from you again.